Wisconsin lawmakers are hearing public testimony this week on two bills that would prevent transgender women and girls from competing on sports teams that match their gender identity. One of the bills would keep transgender girls from playing on girls' teams in K-12 public schools and private schools that take part in the state's voucher program. A second bill would prevent trans women from playing on women's teams at public universities and technical colleges. Wisconsin isn't alone. 25 other states are considering similar legislation. Three states have signed transgender sports bills into law, though Idaho's is caught up in court. We're talking about this wave of bills around the U.S. that would affect transgender girls and women's ability to participate in sports and why they're coming up at the same time, the legal arguments for and against them. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you want these bills to pass here in Wisconsin? The state athletic organizations currently have the rule that transgender girls and women can only participate in sports after undergoing hormone therapy to lower testosterone levels for a year. Do you think that's a fair standard? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Don Heider-Markell is professor of political science at the University of Kansas. He's co-editor of The Remarkable Rise of Transgender Rights and Transgender Rights in Politics, Groups, Issue Framing, and Policy Adoption. He also edited the Oxford Encyclopedia of LGBT Politics and Policy. Don, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon.
From what you're seeing in Wisconsin's bills that I just mentioned, how do they compare to what we're seeing in so many other states around the country?
They're quite similar to most of the bills that have been introduced this year's legislative sessions, and in terms of specifically targeting transgender girls and women.
And why do you think we're seeing this wave of bills? As I mentioned, about half the states in the country doing something along these lines. Why now, do you reckon?
Well, a couple of different factors. One, it's part of a broader sort of backlash against transgender rights that really began in about 2016, following the decision on same-sex marriage in Obergefell versus Hodges. But it's also partly a result of other recent successes of the transgender rights movement, including the 2020 decision in Bostock versus Clayton County, which provided employment protections for transgender people.
I want to give a listen to one of the lawmakers in Wisconsin who introduced these bills. This is Representative Barbara Dietrich, a Republican from Oconomowoc, talking about the bill at a press conference in March.
Our own Lady Elcats from Lake Mills would not have had the chance to enjoy their phenomenal accomplishment this past weekend of securing a state title without the passage of Title IX. Now, in a fractured, well-meaning attempt at inclusion, biological females are losing opportunities at titles, records, scholarships, and even participation at times.
Don, what stands out to you there?
Well, a couple of things. First, the so-called evidence that's being cited in some of these cases, and in most states, they can't even point to a single example of a transgender athlete that's been in competition and led to these kinds of problems she's pointing to. Secondarily, the real question here is, if transgender people are going to participate in sports, how should that participation occur? And she fails to mention the fact that there are standards, which you mentioned at the top of the show, but the NCAA also has standards, the Olympic Committee also has standards, and there are standards out there. Simple exclusion is not the way forward on this issue.
As she mentioned, the idea of, in a sense, protecting girls in sports from unfair competition and that framing. And I think this is something you've thought about, Don, of protecting girls or women, in this case, in sports. How important is that as part of the framing here?
Well, in terms of the transgender backlash in general, the focus has been on this notion of protecting girls and women. So the wave of bathroom bills we saw in 2016 were all couched around the notion of trying to protect women and girls. from what was seen as harmful transgender people. And it harkens back to much the same way there was a backlash against gays and lesbians in the 1970s, all focused around protecting girls and protecting women in particular from this supposed threat. But again, the notion is first point to where the actual problem is. And secondarily, there are real standards for how participation can occur without it being unfair competition.
Right. I think one concern is that it not even about somebody who would really identify as transgender, but a boy who, say, wasn't competitive with other boys, saying declaring themselves to be transgender so they could participate in a girls' league, getting scholarships. Again, these standards of a year, in many cases, of hormone treatment make that sort of a quick flip idea less likely, if I'm understanding things correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. The existing policies, for example, with the NCAA really specify that this has to be part of a medical regimen, that this has to have been documented and occurred for some amount of time before competition can take place. And it sort of documented in terms of science, the medical science, what it means to go through those hormonal treatments, what it means to go through testosterone blockers, or even prepubescent treatment that is occurring with some children nowadays to not have gone through that puberty stage. All of that can be documented and creates a more level playing field.
Talking to Don Heider-Markell from the University of Kansas, political scientist there. He's edited books on transgender politics and the law, looking at legislation in Wisconsin proposed here and elsewhere, banning transgender girls from participating in sports at the high school or college levels. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and your questions. Let's go to your calls now. AJ is with us in Green Bay. AJ, hello.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call. My question on this whole topic is, how many cases are there in the state of Wisconsin that transgender girls are trying to compete and overthrow a state title?
AJ, thanks for the call. I don't know if I have Wisconsin numbers. I saw something, I think it was in the New York Times, out of 200,000 girls in athletics in the country, something on the order of 50 transgender. Don, that's just off the top of my head.
Yeah, and that would be that number would be pretty likely. In other words, you're talking about at the most 2% of the total population, and better estimates are usually like a half of 1% in the overall population. On top of that, transgender youth in particular are less likely to participate in sports in the first place. So at any given school, it's very unlikely that there's even going to be a transgender athlete. For the most part, if you look across a state like Wisconsin, you might have less than a dozen potential athletes participating in sports. So it is a very small number. Here in Kansas, we've gone through the same thing, and in Florida as well, where no one could point to a single athlete as being a source of a potential problem here.
Thanks for the call. We'll go now to Maggie in Madison. Maggie, hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What'd you want to bring up, Maggie?
I just wanted to mention, with respect to the comment about regulating hormone levels of transgender athletes, that there are a lot of women who were assigned female at birth who are professional athletes who have different levels of hormones naturally. So a woman who might have more testosterone that helps her sprint faster. And so if you're going to force transgender athletes to regulate their hormone levels, then it seems to me like that's a really dangerous position to take, because there is just natural variance within people.
Maggie, thanks a lot for the call and for sharing your thoughts. And Don, I've seen once people start arguing about hormone levels and men versus women, or within, as Maggie was saying, among women, and then a transgender athlete on hormones, it gets really complicated really fast. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, naturally, there are natural variations amongst women and men, of course, as well, in terms of testosterone. And that's the key hormone we're thinking about here, and the Olympic Committee has struggled with this issue for a number of years, and it's been a significant one. And I think once you get to that level of competition, that's where this becomes a trickier issue to sort of disentangle. But the Olympic Committee has gone forward with that. When you look at the lower levels of competition, I think the differences that this is going to make are less significant. But the average variation, say, that you can cause by increasing or decreasing somebody's testosterone level can be in the range of a performance difference of 10 to 12%. And that 10 to 12% is often about the difference that you get between, say, female runners and male runners at the Olympic level. So that's pretty significant difference. And certainly you would want to have baseline levels for individuals.
We're talking about a transgender sports legislation here in Wisconsin and many other states. Don Heider-Markell stays with us, professor of political science at the University of Kansas, co-editor of the book, among others, The Remarkable Rise of Transgender Rights. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a transgender athlete yourself or parent of loved one of a transgender athlete? What are your thoughts on the Wisconsin bills that would keep trans girls and women from playing on girls and women's sports teams? Are you involved with youth sports yourself, especially girls' sports? What are your thoughts on this? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk with the University of Kansas political scientist Don Heider-Markell about bills in Wisconsin and about half the states in the country that would prohibit transgender women and girls from playing on girls and women's sports teams. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and questions. Back to your calls now. Jean is with us in Poygan. Jean, hi.
Hi, I'm responding to the comment made by the legislator who believes that having transgender girls would have unfair competition, would present unfair competition to girls' teams. And my comment is that I'm not hearing this from the girls themselves. I'm not hearing from girls that they feel threatened by or would be uncomfortable by or would be afraid to compete teams that have transgender girls on them. So I'd like to hear more about what the students themselves think about this issue.
Jean, thanks for the call. And I'll note at that press conference from Representative Dietrich we played earlier, I believe there was a young student athlete, a girl who was supporting the bill. Also in Connecticut, Don, I think it was Connecticut, where there was a court case after a transgender girl had won some track events. Some girls had participated in a lawsuit over that. So at least there are some, I don't know about numbers, but some girls in athletics joining these concerns. What are you seeing?
Yeah, most folks point to the Connecticut lawsuit as the example of this. But overall, this is a solution looking for a problem. And again, there is a solution if it's a concern, and that solution is best practices policies that could be implemented. Simply targeting transgender girls and women and excluding them from the important participation in athletics, especially for young people, is such an important extracurricular activity for them to engage in. That exclusion does far more harm than what supposed benefit you get out of passing these laws. Sort of targeting this one really small portion of the population and telling them you can't participate at all is really unfair.
Thanks for the call. We'll go next to Aaron in Green Bay. Aaron, hello.
Hi, thank you for having me. I just wanted to echo some of the same sentiments that have already been stated, that this is really legislating a problem that does not exist. I myself was a female athlete in high school and college. I have been coaching at the high school level, and the female athletes that I coach have never brought this up. It is not something that is a concern of theirs. And in addition, I know the point the legislator made was protecting women and girls. I think there are many more important issues things we can be doing to truly protect women and girls, red flag laws, looking at domestic violence, domestic abuse, things that have been tried to be passed at the state level, but really have gone nowhere. I just think that it is a waste of time and energy when there are other more important issues that we could be doing to help students and athletes. I'll take your comments off the air.
And thanks for the call. Don, your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously we're living in the middle of a pandemic. We've had practically an economic collapse, let alone the plethora of issues that women and girls face in American society. And I think there's many other ways to help women and girls rather than this kind of targeted legislation. In terms of fair competition and such, in requirements of Title IX, that schools and public schools and universities rarely sort of really meet the requirements to fully fund women's sports, to fully allow for the kind of participation in women's athletics that they do for men's athletics. So if folks really want to sort of target protecting women and ensuring that women have the same opportunities, I think there are much better ways to go about this.
Thanks for the call. Talking to Don Heider-Markell from Kansas, from the University of Kansas, looking at transgender laws, legislation in Wisconsin, some laws passed in other states. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Tom is on the line in Milwaukee. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I'm wondering, for athletes that perform individually as opposed to team sports, would it make any sense to have a separate category for transgender athletes?
Tom, thanks for the call. It would be, at least at this point, Don, a pretty small league, it sounds like, given the numbers we're talking about.
Yes, it would be very small. I mean, that's the primary problem. The secondary problem is sort of this separate but equal notion that we'll be able to sort of have these separate ways to participate that will presumably be equal. And we kind of know what the history of that is with a variety of issues in American society. So that seems problematic on its face. But I think it's an important point to note that for team sports, this is far less likely to be apparent. For individual competitions such as track, it's a more significant potential issue. But again, the number of cases that anyone can point to across the United States are very small. And again, there are best practices for ensuring that we can make a level playing field for girls that are competing in high school as well as in college.
Thanks for the call. We heard from Robin in Vernon County, who's curious about the politics of this effort. Robin wanted to know if this was being used as a wedge issue to divide an already divided state. What are your thoughts on the politics, Don, on this wave of legislation?
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you for sure this is seen as a win-win issue for Republicans, that they can't go wrong, that the population that they're targeting is so small that the relative backlash that they're going to receive is going to be small. And I think they're underestimating how wrapping this in a variety of other culture war issues is going to allow them to achieve victory in upcoming elections.
Now, you've edited a book I mentioned about the remarkable rise of transgender rights. I mean, we saw a quick turn in the country when it came to legalizing of same-sex marriage. Have we seen a similar, maybe even surprising change in what people think of transgender rights in a similar time span?
Yeah, well, it's been, as we title the book, remarkable how quickly that transgender rights has come on to the political discussion in the United States, and the increasing familiarity with transgender people. For gay and lesbian people, there was a similar sort of evolution over time that was relatively rapid, say, compared to racial issues in the United States. But for transgender rights and policies, this has been evolution that's occurred in the past 15 years, and especially in the past 6 or 7 years, where familiarity with these issues and adoption of policies to protect transgender people has been really quite remarkable.
Do you anticipate more legislation? We saw the kind of a wave of the so-called bathroom bills a couple of years back. Now we've got these sports-related bills. Do you see it likely that we'll see more transgender-related bills, maybe a backlash against some of the changes you've seen?
I think some other ways, right. So some new bills were introduced, for example, in Tennessee this year that were trying to specifically change the sort of way this issue gets framed. So rather than, say, banning transgender people from using the bathroom that is consistent with their gender identity, this instead would open up schools and other public facilities to lawsuits if they did allow transgender people to use facilities that match their gender identity. So rather than banning it, they're simply allowing for potential legal repercussions for organizations that go ahead and do this. So I think they'll try to thread the needle on these issues and continue to see what works. I think the athletes legislation is seen as a winner, but I also know that as you pointed out earlier, that there are already lawsuits against a number of these laws, and these lawsuits are going to sort of drag on for a while and obviously cost states money.
We'll leave it there. Don, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Don Heider-Markell, professor of political science at the University of Kansas, co-editor of the book The Remarkable Rise of Transgender Rights. He joined us for a look at transgender sports legislation here in Wisconsin and in states around the country.